Welcome back to Tip TV Finance. We're here with a CEO interview, and it's the turn of Jeremy Markerton, who is CEO at Horizonte Minerals. How are you today, Jeremy?
Good morning. Good to see you again. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm hoping that you're going to update me on all the exciting events in South America.
Absolutely. Yeah. Today.
Did you go anywhere near Rio on your travels?
I unfortunately didn't get to the Olympics, but I actually got back last night. So sort of regularly in and out of Brazil.
So no gold medal for being CEO then?
Sadly not.
That's a shame. I'm sure you would have been in the running for that. But so what's going on at Horizonte at the moment?
Yeah, so it's a big day for us. We've just released our new pre-feasibility study on the Araguaia Nickel project. This is the culmination of the last year's work and the integration of the acquisition that we acquired from Glencore late last year. So all of that has been integrated into this study that's out today.
Right. I mean, from memory, which is not always very reliable, I mean, that was something of a coup, the acquisition from Glencore. They were slightly compromised at that time, and you had struck a good deal.
Yes, it was a big step for us, and it's flowed through into this study. The asset was adjacent to us. It was a similar size, and I think you'll see the net result of that acquisition and the value it's brought in the pre-feasibility.
Right, and do you think, I mean, it's always one of those rhetorical questions, perhaps, but do you think the market's really appreciated what you did with that deal?
I think it was right at the low end of the market. If you look at, we announced the deal in Q4 last year and closed it in Q2 this year. Q4 last year, I think, was what most people will call the bottom of the mining sector. And I think it was not about looking at what people were doing, it was just survival. And it wasn't for junior companies as well. You had the likes of a raft of the majors lose significant value, and people were sort of saying, well, can some of these companies survive? And here we are 8 months later, and you've had multiple uplift across all of the major miners. So, yeah, I think at that point in time, it wasn't recognized. And I think this is part of now what we're showing in terms of the value it's added into this study.
Right, we've seen the major miners soar in share price terms. I think Anglo American from £2.20 to £8, £9, and you've got people upgrading their targets from £2 to £6, and the hold recommendation they had, they're totally wrong, many of these brokers. But in your case, I mean, the shares are up from 1.5 to, say, let's say, you know, over 2 pence now, which is a great uplift. But is this now the time when, you know, bulls of the stock can really look forward to some momentum?
Absolutely. I think at the price range we're at the moment, we're still at a historic low. I think we are at the front end of potentially 3 to 5 years of a very interesting period in the mining space. This study, the pre-feasibility, really sets our sort of value proposition out. And I think going forwards, it's growth profile going forwards for us. And obviously, nickel has lifted from its 14-year low in January. It's come up about sort of 17-18% to where we sit today. But again, we're still sitting at multi-year lows. So I think everything is positioned in terms of markets and what we're offering to really add value into this company going forwards.
And what, I mean, the other thing is, it's one thing digging the stuff out of the ground, but what's the demand situation like? Because that was obviously a key thing.
Yeah, nickel has had a fairly serious sort of structural oversupply issue for about the last 2 years. I think consensus is that late last year it actually went into a balanced market. And what we're seeing across most of the kind of forecasting groups is that this year we're going to end up in a deficit position, somewhere between 80 to 100,000 tonnes, which is extremely good in terms of where things are going. And then if you look at price forecasts out over the next 2 to 3 years, you're getting price ranges anywhere from $14,000 to $16,000 a tonne. So I think the fundamentals behind the nickel market are very compelling. We are one of a very small peer group of companies that have a nickel asset that is going to go down the line to production. So I think everything is aligned with where we want to go.
Right. I mean, the final difficult issue in these situations is always the funding one. Investors tend to shy away from situations where they can't see what your let's say, the economics of the projects are. Is that something that you've explained to the market that you think people are happy with?
Well, I think this is really what we're doing today. I mean, just to touch on the economics from the new pre-feasibility, we talked about the Glencore acquisition. What that's done is it's allowed us to have the first 10 years of mining at around 1.95% nickel and the first 5 years at 2% nickel. That puts it on the upper quartile of the grade curve globally. So that was the big step change that we got from the acquisition. If we look at the numbers that have flown out of the study, we have used $12,000 a tonne as our long-term nickel price. Consensus today is around 14. So we have been fairly conservative in our assumptions. And using that $12,000 a ton nickel price, we're getting an internal rate of return of 19% and a net present value of $320 million. But more importantly, the project goes and makes money at today's nickel price. So that will be one of the things that people ask, well, it's great using a future nickel forecast, but what does it do today? And the clear message is it's viable in the current nickel price environment, which today I think is around $10,500 a ton. So that's a big step change. So we will be one of the most cost-effective projects out there, or competitive projects. And our C1 cost, which is our cash cost, will be around $3.15, which is $6,900 a ton. So on 10,500 nickel price today at historic lows, there is significant upside in terms of where we go, and also buffer in terms of being able to produce when prices are at the low end of the range.
Right, and the other final things, as far as the political situation and the costs of operating where you are, how does that compare to other areas?
Yeah, we've just had the Olympics in Brazil, and as you say, I didn't get my gold, but obviously it was a great Olympics for GB.
Yeah.
And I think Brazil did a very good job in delivering those games. I think Brazil has had 2 years of some fairly challenging macro conditions. We had
quite punchy headlines come from the world of politics around there as well.
Exactly. So we first of all, we had the sell down in the commodity space, and obviously one of the big GDP drivers in Brazil is commodities. So that obviously hit the economy. Then we had the Samarco tailings dam failure, which has been fairly well documented. Then we had the Petrobras scandal, and then we've had impeachment of the president or the ex-president several months ago. So I think we've had a whole
raft. Never a dull moment there, is it really?
Never a dull moment. Well, it is Brazil. It's fun. But I think what we're now seeing is we've seen the real stabilize. We're seeing inflows of capital. And I think we are again at the front end of a building process for the economy down there. And it's a great place to operate. We're established. We're recognized. The mining code works well for us, so I think the whole package goes in terms of this offering. For example, our project is located in one of the larger mining districts in Brazil, the Carajás district. We've got all the infrastructure, we've got roads, rail, we've got hydroelectric power, which makes the development of these assets so much more cost-effective and allows you to sit down at the lower end of the cost curve. So it all works well for us.
Okay, well, on that note, Jeremy Martin, CEO at Horizonte Minerals, thank you very much for coming today.
Thank you very much.
We'll be back after the break.